Welcome to the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast, where we empower female business owners to step boldly into the spotlight and claim the recognition they deserve. I'm your host, Tori Barker. I'm passionate about helping women like you transform your visibility into tangible business success. Each week on this show, we'll dive deep into game-changing strategies, share inspiring success stories from women who've mastered their visibility, and offer practical, actionable advice you can implement immediately. Whether you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey, pivoting your business model, or ready to elevate your existing presence to new heights, you'll discover effective approaches to create exciting opportunities and expand your reach. So let's harness the power of strategic visibility and grow your business together. Welcome to the show. As you'll hear from today's guest, half the battle of being a founder is mastering your mindset. Emily McDonald knows this firsthand. She's built and scaled three businesses to six and seven figures, and now she's helping over 200 female founders do just the same. As a business strategist and a mentor, Emily is all about creating businesses that work for you, not the other way around. In this episode, we dive into burnout, boundaries, visibility, and building a business and life you're actually proud of. Let's dive in. All right, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us again on the show. I am here with Emily McDonald. I'm super excited to introduce her today. Emily, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes, of course. So let's jump right in and let's talk about the fact that you have built multiple six and seven figure businesses. Can you take us back to what inspired you to be an entrepreneur?
Oh gosh. Yeah. So I was born one. Like I was literally born one, which is funny because my parents aren't really, like, my dad's a lawyer. Everyone in my family's a lawyer. And he started his own law firm. So he has a little bit of like the entrepreneurial bug, but very much everyone in my family's like lawyers, like not risk takers. I was like born straight up ready to start a business. Like I was, no joke, reading Entrepreneur Magazine books on how to start a business when I was like nine.
Love it. That's so cool. And which was, so tell us about your first business and maybe some of the lessons that you've learned from that first business to the third business and what you're doing now.
Yeah. So it's a wild ride. actually, I'll tell you, I'll take you way, way back. I grew up in Oklahoma. My dream was to start a clothing store. That was like my ultimate dream. I ended up going to USC, University of Southern California, for entrepreneurship. And I remember like I studied super hard for the SATs to get a good score, to get in, like the whole thing. They're one of the best entrepreneurship schools in the country. I loved it there and I learned so much. And while I was there, I was like, huh, I really want to start a clothing store, but like, that's not the best. That market is super crowded right now. Like that's, it's ripe for disruption. And I remember just being like, huh, like I wonder what else I could do. And I was interning at a fashion PR firm at the same time. And they allowed us to check out clothes. And we would like log it in a little book and like whatever. And it was the same time like Instagram was starting, Facebook photos, like all of that. And I saw how often girls didn't want to wear the same thing. So long, long, long story short, I ended up writing a business plan on clothing rental at USC as a senior. I didn't start it right away. I did a graduate program at FITM, which is the fashion institute in LA. And then I went to work in the fashion industry because like, you know, it's scary, the idea of starting a company, right? Like I was like, oh, you know what? I need to like go work for someone. In 2009, the company I worked for went out of business. And the owner was like, look, we need your help closing up shop. We can't pay you, but we'll pay you in clothes and we'll pay you commission off of any inventory you can sell. And I remember sitting there being like, oh my God, the world is over. I lost my dream job, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, wait a second. Why am I not renting out dresses?
Yeah.
If they're paying me in clothes. So to make a long story short, March of 2009, I started the bank account for my first company, The Stylist LA. I started renting dresses out of my living room. So cool. I started by going back to USC and doing pop-ups in sorority houses for dances. And in 2013, I opened our first my first office was $350 a month downtown LA.
Oh my gosh.
12th floor, no air conditioning. And in 2013, we moved into like our official showroom in Venice. So then we did that. I scaled it. I expanded to San Francisco in 2016. I raised venture capital in 2017 and we were on a rocket ship. So that's my first company.
Wow.
And the lessons are literally like we could be here for 4 days straight talking about the lessons. But I think like some of the biggest things, like this company was on a rocket ship. I was hitting massive, massive burnout, which is a deeper conversation, and COVID hit all at the same time.
Oh gosh,
COVID
perfect
totally changed.
storm, right?
Literally the perfect storm. And oh, and I didn't even tell you, I was like, what, 12 weeks pregnant with my
Oh
first
my
kid?
gosh.
It was insane. Okay, but COVID forced me to stop because our stores had to close and people were renting for events and there were no events.
Right.
And you were in California where like the lockdown was very strict.
Yeah.
So what did I learn? I mean, so many things. One of the most important things was your identity is not your company. Your identity is not your numbers. In the first business, one of the reasons I really reached burnout is I put myself
Yeah.
last. I didn't take care of myself. I paid everyone before myself. I worked all the time. I like lived and died by whether we had a good or bad sales day. But you know, those are kind of like the, I don't want to say like the negative pieces of it, but I also learned so much about building a brand that people were obsessed with
Right.
and building from your heart and building something people love and scaling. I mean, I am so grateful for the journey because it's
Absolutely.
taught me so much that I use every day
Yeah.
in my other businesses now.
Yeah. And the lessons you learn not only help you, but help the clients that you're working with now so that they
Right. So,
avoid the things
right.
and
So,
challenges that you went through.
exactly. So basically when COVID hit, I was stuck at home and I was like, what am I doing? Like we can't run the stores. My friends who run businesses were like, oh my God, please help me with the business side of my business.
Yeah.
Some were exploding during COVID. Some were like pivoting. Like there was so much happening and they were like, we need help. So I started consulting and I hired my first coach because I remember being in a very dark place of like, who am I now that my company stopped?
Right.
It was the wildest thing. Like I went from like the week before COVID, like constant pings on my phone, sales, like all the time, all the time, all the time, to literally, like I couldn't go somewhere without my phone before COVID because a store was always open in one of my cities. Like then COVID, and it was like just quiet.
Wow.
So I hired a coach. She helped me drastically, and from there, I decided I wanted to help female founders build better businesses. And so, for those that are listening, I have pivoted, and now I am a business strategist and mentor for female founders.
That's amazing. I love that story and that journey because you've evolved yourself personally, but your businesses have evolved and you're giving back to other female entrepreneurs. And I always have like this quote, I can't remember where I've heard it, but it's like, help the person you once were or serve the person you once were. And so it's almost like that just resonates so much in this conversation because you hadn't gone through those situations and lessons and experiences, you wouldn't be able to help the women that you are now, which is now exploding in so many other directions that you hadn't even thought of.
Totally. And another thing is like when I was running the Stylist LA so aggressively, there weren't, I mean, now we see the boom of coaches, good and bad. Okay. There's
Yeah.
pros and cons of that. But like the options for support were so different. It was like you can bring in a CEO, you can have, I had advisors, but it was like you talk to them like once a quarter.
Yeah.
It was just so different. And that's why, like, now, like, the way that I serve my clients is what I really, really wish I'd had
Yeah.
because it would have saved me so much, like, stress, anxiety, like all of that, and I would have made better decisions.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about your visibility because I always talk, obviously, this is about visibility. This podcast talk, we talk about visibility, but I always talk about there's two types of visibility. There's a personal visibility, and then there's the brand or the business visibility. And it sounds like in your story, that was intertwined. And so I'd love to kind of hear your evolution of visibility from when you first started to where you are now. Have you separated the two? Are the lines still blurred? Tell me what visibility means to you.
Good. It's this is a good topic because this is very important for a few reasons. One is we're at the rise of the founder-led brand. So visibility-wise, I actually believe I'm much more visible because I believe that the owner of the brand, no matter what it is, your story is super important and it's what people resonate with. That being said, you are not your numbers.
Yes.
You are not, your worth and value is not tied up in how your business did today. So those are two different things. So like visibility wise, I am front and center. And if anyone here follows me on Instagram or reads my emails, I am transparent as can be. I'm sharing my journey. I am telling you like the ups and downs, the lessons I'm learning. And I think that's really important because one, I want founders to feel less alone. And two, it allows potential clients and clients to connect with me on a deeper level.
Right.
However, I've done so much mindset work to separate myself
Yep.
from the daily grind. Look, not the daily grind, but the daily grind, I guess, up and down, whatever. You know, this person signed up with me, this person didn't. I got four likes on an Instagram post, whatever it is. But what's tough is it's something I'm still working on because, look, if my business went out of business, would I feel good enough? I don't know. So it's one of those like kind of a work in progress.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And I feel like you're right on track with it. The fact that you have to be, your personal brand is tied into your business brand because it's the know, like, and trust factor. You have to build the face to your brand in order for people to really resonate with you. And when I first started my business, it was so interesting. There was people talking, this was like 6 years ago, and people were talking about, your brand needs to be a logo, or it needs to be its own entity, and you are completely separate. Otherwise, you'll never be able to sell your business. And it's like, well, it depends on what your goals are,
And what
right?
type of business it is.
What type of business it is, exactly. But also, then it takes the personality and the authenticity and the human element out of it. And so you have to really identify what truly resonates for you. What your business is, who your clients are, and what your visibility should look like personally, not external. Like, don't listen to everybody because it does, you don't have to be like the other person. And
Totally.
really, really understanding that you can be authentic and you can be out there and you can show who you are, but there's also still got to be a part of you that you keep to yourself, right? So you don't drive yourself crazy being completely visible. Like, there's always going to be a part of you.
Right. And one of the things I teach a lot is making your business and your strategies work for you. So I'm never, and I actually hate these people online who are like, I have the one size fits all strategy that's going to make you
Oh,
$1 million.
gosh.
Because I'm like, I had a potential client come to me a couple weeks ago and she was like, I spent all this money to invest in this program that's teaching me how to sell in the DMs, but I hate selling in the DMs. I was like, oh my God.
Oh
So
no.
I'm a big believer in what works for you because I also think when you're doing something, strategies that feel good, you do better work. So, like,
True.
I have a client who doesn't want to do social media. Fine. She's leaning on intentional networking and email.
Yeah.
But you have to figure out, like, for example, I'm like the fourth of five kids. I am super outgoing. I am super transparent. It's like who I am. Like, my college friends used to call me a walking heart to heart. So, for me, it comes naturally. And I love sharing vulnerably. Some people don't. So,
Yeah,
like,
true.
what works for you? I do think we're in an age of where people want to know the face behind a brand because AI, because faceless brands were a whole thing, you know, like oh my God, what are they? The master resale rights, like whatever that, like all of those things. People want to know that it's a real business, that it's a real person. And so I think there does have to be some of that personality shared, but you get to decide how you do it.
And let's talk a little bit about like the revenue side of things. So you're growing your business and, sometimes I'm assuming clients come to you and they're feeling stuck in the base revenue and trying to scale and get to that six figures, seven figures. How do you help them either through strategies or mindsets to get out of that early revenue stage in their business?
So this is my most, like, I want to say one of my most passionate areas because what ended up happening was I talk to female founders all day long, right? And my one-on-one clients and my mastermind clients are doing like millions in revenue. But there is this giant subset of female founders who've started a business because they're an expert at their craft, but they're like, I don't know how to run a business. And also everyone online is giving me advice. So I created actually a framework and it's a five-piece framework of the five things to master to hit consistent revenue in your business. And it's really like when you're under six figures. Now I run a program on it 3 times a year. I feel so passionate about it because it's a mix of strategy and mindset. So it's like, I'll tell you what the five pieces are because you're going to be like, yeah, this makes sense. It's who you target understanding them on a very deep level, like psychographic level.
Yeah.
Your what and your why. So what do you sell? Your offer or product suite plus why you. Then the third piece is your numbers. Like, do you even know how many of whatever it is you sell you need to sell to hit your revenue goals? Do you have revenue goals? Then we build an audience and lead gen strategy. So that's number four, based on how many, right? Like if you're selling, I tell people, I'm like, if you're selling a $5 widget and you want to make $1 million a year, you need a bigger audience.
Yes.
If you're selling 3K web design packages and your revenue goal is 5K a month, you need a smaller audience.
Yep.
And then the last one is mindset, which is last but definitely not least, which is like,
yeah.
How do we get out of our own way? I mean, I said something yesterday on Instagram stories that was like, half the battle of being a founder is mastering your mindset.
100%.
And
So
so,
true.
yeah, so that's my like, and I now have filmed modules around it. And then we do live coaching calls where I answer questions because I'm like, oh my God, I was going on all these calls where people were having the exact same issue. And a funny piece of this is I can spot from a mile away which of those five things they haven't mastered usually. Like if someone comes to me and they're
So
like,
cool.
I'm at 5K months, or I hit 5K, then I hit 10K, then I'm back to 2K. I'm like, I can like look at their website and Instagram, and usually I'm like, that's the one we need to work on.
Yeah. And do you, so tell, is the program, you said you do it 3 times a year, right? Is that what you said? And
Yeah.
so it's like a group coaching mastermind, like let's nail these strategies and get you going. Is that how you run the
Yeah, so
business?
it's a mini mastermind is what I call it. It kind of depends. We're tweaking it a little bit. I'm adding in three expert sessions to this one for the
Oh, cool.
fall. It's about 10 weeks. It's usually like 20 plus women. It's really cool. We do six group coaching calls. So they come and it's an hour and a half where they like watch a module. Then they come to me and they ask, like, we talk through all of their questions about it. They have a little bit of homework. And so we do it all together. Then we have a community on school. It's a great program. And by then, like, what truly, like, when they've done that work, and the other thing I believe in is there's no fluff in my stuff.
Yeah.
I will not add crap just to make it look like there's more stuff because I'm like, we don't have time.
Yeah.
So it is very like to the point, do this, do that. And it just sets you up for success. Like I say, I'm like, these are the foundations that every solid, successful business is built on because we are not here to go viral. We are
Yeah.
here to exist in 5 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Like to still be in business, right? Like
Exactly.
that's the goal. It's not like to go viral or to sell in the DMs or to hit a 10K month. I'm like, no, guys, like whatever your dream is, that's what we're going for.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because people talk about, like on podcasting, like you have to have so many listeners and so many downloads, and I always say, like, it doesn't matter. If you are hitting the right audience, if the right people are listening to your show, who cares if it's 100,000 downloads or if it's 100,000, views or whatever it is. If that's not your target people, it doesn't matter. Like if you have a solid 100, 500, whatever it is, and those are your people, then it's so much more valuable than any bigger number that you could ever get.
Well, I say that a lot about Instagram, right? Because I told you
Yeah, true.
before this call, I spend a lot of time on Instagram. I joke I'm a person who shockingly has the most healthy relationship with Instagram. Like, I think it's because I built my first business on it and the relationship wasn't
Yeah.
healthy. Now I'm like, if it starts to bug me, I put it away, but I genuinely love it. And I say that, I'm like, I now have like 3,500 followers maybe, and I make more money on Instagram than I did when I had 65K followers because
Yeah.
I'm focused on the genuine connection. And I'm like, I don't care that much about like my views. Granted, if I get 20 views, I'm like, okay, something's up. Like, let's look
Right.
at it.
Yeah.
But it's more like, are those people the right people? If you have 50 people liking a post, but they're the right people, like that's incredible.
Yep.
We
100%.
forget that if you had 50 people in a room listening to you, that's a lot of people.
Yeah. Just because you're online, it doesn't make a difference, right? Just as long as the platform doesn't matter. It's the people that you
Exactly.
have in front of you.
And I tell everyone, I'm like, treat them like they're real people.
Yeah.
Treat them like the people they are, not just a number, not just a view, not just a like.
Yeah. Now, let's kind of shift a little bit towards, we've talked a little bit about mindset and balance, and you've gone from building this business that, you were at the breaking point of burnout. How is your maybe daily routine, or what are some of the things that you do personally so that you don't get back to that point in your businesses now?
So I always have a coach or mentor, always.
Love it.
So I'm in a mastermind right now. That's one thing that helps a lot. I've become very self-aware. So I notice when I'm slipping into old patterns, and I usually talk about it with my coach or mentor. I do a newer thing I'm doing that I'm loving is I do early morning walks, and I don't even listen to a podcast. They're silent. And I'm obsessed. And
Cool.
that's because it's just a space of quiet. I have two little boys. So I have a newly 3-year-old and an almost 5-year-old.
Oh my gosh.
So that I exercise a lot. I journal. The biggest thing for me in breaking those patterns is building in space. So instead of like a pattern and story I'm rewriting right now in my life, is like I don't have to work super hard for revenue all the time.
Yeah.
That's a hard one for me. So it's like, how do I build in this space? Instead of taking millions of calls and doing all the things and trying to be everywhere, realizing how valuable space is because it allows me to hear my own intuition and my own thoughts and see what's happening. Like, am I falling into old stuff? And let me tell you this, it's tricky. When you're launching something, you want to check the numbers all the time.
Yeah.
But I think half the battle, I actually just had this conversation with my mentor last week. Half the battle is recognizing that you're doing the old thing and rebounding quickly back to like where you want to be.
Yep. Yeah.
It's really, I think the real answer is allowing space.
Yeah. I love that answer because it's so true. It's space, like you said, to hear your own intuition and to allow you to breathe and make decisions that are true to what you want, what you need, and the direction that you're going, and being more intentional with your time. So instead of having, 10 calls a day, you have maybe 5 calls that are way more intentional, and the outcome's going to be better because they are so intentional.
Right. And like, honestly, like for me, it's like 3 calls a day now.
Love it. Yeah.
I mean, I'm doing other work too. I guess today I actually have more. Today I have 4. But it also, to be honest, it helped to have kids because balance is forced on me.
Yeah,
I'm like
force. Yeah.
super present mom. So like, I told this to my husband, I'm like, I can't work 12-hour days.
Yeah, I know.
Like our
Totally get
oldest
it.
is out of
Yep.
school at 3:30. Like I can't, and to be fair, they're in childcare. Like
Yeah.
I am not, I bow down to people who take care of their kids and work. I literally don't know how you do it. So mine are in childcare, but like when they come home, I'm like, okay, I can't work while they're awake.
No, I totally same here. I have 2 kids, 2 boys. They're 8 and 11.
Oh, I love it.
And that was when I started my business. I wanted to be that mom who could take them to school, who could pick them up from school and, go to sporting events and be present and let my business fall into the space around it. Because that's
Well,
what was important to me.
and that's why I say I help you build a business that supports the life of your dreams,
Yeah.
not someone else's. Because if someone says to me, like, I want to, like some people, by the way, this is not me, love my children dearly, but some people are like, I want to keep my kids home till kindergarten.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Then let's, like, if you want to create a business, how are we fitting that in?
Yeah.
Like, or like you're single and don't have kids and you want to travel all the time. Like, what is it you want? Because if we're not going after what we want, why did we create the business in the first place?
Right. We're spending how many hours of our day in our life in a business? Why not be happy in it?
Literally. And the problem is, again, I could talk, this could be a whole other podcast on like what the internet is teaching, like either new female founders or like prospective female founders. Because I'm like, they think that they want what someone else is showing them.
Yeah, I know.
And they also think they're supposed to want what someone else is showing them, which is tricky. I'm like, it's okay to want what you want.
Yeah.
I had a client tell me the other day that she hates traveling. Like, she has 2 little kids, and she's like, I actually hate leaving them.
Yeah.
She was like, I really don't like it. And she was like, I feel so bad. Like, I need to get better at leaving them. And I was like, look, if
Yeah.
you don't travel, you don't have to travel.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, you get to choose. But she like felt like she should like it because everyone else, she's like, everyone else is fine doing it. And I was like, doesn't matter.
Yeah. Ugh. Well, Emily, it has been amazing talking to you. I feel like you said, we could have a whole nother podcast on like 3 other topics and we could just go down a rabbit hole. I feel like you've shared some amazing advice. I think people definitely need to check you out. Look into your Instagram, your school community. because there's so much value in the experience and the knowledge that you have that any female founder would be lucky to learn from you. So tell us your Instagram, tell us your school's community and how people can reach out to you.
Yep. And I'm sure you'll put them in the show notes, but Absolutely. My Instagram is Founder Emily. Feel free to DM me. I spend a lot of time over there and I love having chats in the DMs. And then I have a free school community called Money Moves, and I post resources in there, topics, things on my mind. And there's like 180 something women in there. So lots of interesting people to connect with.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for being a guest. It has been amazing to get to know you and share your story.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.